Today's July 6th. We're starting a series of messages on the minor prophets in the Old Testament. You got to read through the book of Obadiah this week as we're reading through the Bible in a timely chronological manner. And so I titled the message Obadiah and Us. And what do you know about the book of Obadiah? Who knows something about the book of Obadiah? It's one of the few names that I've read this week and all those kings that I can actually pronounce. Well, one of the things that you might have noticed is it's the shortest book in the Old Testament. It didn't have any chapters to it. It was just verses. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. And it's a dramatic example of God's response to anyone who harms his children. Obadiah is talking to the people of Edom, the country of Edom, and he's reminding them that when they make fun of and laugh at the Jewish people's troubles, that's not a good idea. And if they do that, God will respond to them in a way because of their lack of care for his children. Edom was a country that was, back when Abraham had two sons, Ishmael's family, that's his genetic line, was in Edom. And what else do we know about that? There's really two themes in that short book. One of them is God's judgment on them, and the other major theme is the people's pride. So I took those two themes and tried to develop into a message. And to get practical, what effect does this have on me? How would this book of Obadiah help me to know how to love God better or maybe love Him more? I thought that would be something that could have an effect on us. Secondly, how does this help me love His children more and better? So if I understood what God was saying to us in the shortest book of the Old Testament, how would that affect? And what effect does it have on my community and my country? This being the 4th of July weekend, so I wanted to weave that in there, that there really is a practical lesson for you and I, for our daily life, for our political thoughts and our country and community thoughts. So, the key verse is Obadiah chapter 15, and this is what the Bible says. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head. Your own head, excuse me. So that the general context is a nation having an attitude that causes God to respond to them in a certain way. And basically, how you've done it is how it'll be done to you. And it'll fall right on your own head. So the first theme was God's judgment, and I started out with God loves His children. Seemed like a great place to start. God loves His children. But there are also people on earth that He doesn't in the same way. When you look back to Abraham's sons, one of them God loved and one of them He didn't. You know, you read in the Old Testament that God loved one and hated the other. There is the potential in our lives to be God's friend or to be God's enemy. And so I would encourage you to be one of His children and involved in that. Now, in Obadiah's time, the children was Judah. The two tribes that were left under the king, the tribe of Judah, and the other one, those were the children. In our time, in today, God's holy nation is His church. And His church is all of us who have trusted Christ for salvation and given our lives to Him. These are the ones that are born again. These are the adopted children. I was in a pastoral meeting just a week ago, and we were doing introductions. And when it came to me, I said, I'm a born-again Christian who happens to serve the Lord at a church in Koleda and at a ministry in Rock Falls. My primary identity is that I'm born again. And that makes a big difference no matter where I go or what I do. Now, for you, that is an important question for you to understand at the beginning of this message, that all of us are born in sin and trespasses, and it is the good Lord who calls us to grace, a saving grace in His Son, and allows us the privilege of meeting Jesus on a personal basis and becoming born again, and our whole internal lives being changed, our spirit becoming alive, and our sins being cleansed and given the gift of righteousness, and our hearts being changed from one that is corrupt and evil and diverse to one that is clean and pure and circumcised and set apart, and the Spirit of God actually come to live within us. That's an important part for you to think about and understand in this message, that in order to be one of these children, you must receive that grace and become part of His church. Actually, I like to think of it as His kingdom. God's kingdom is coming, and a church is part of that kingdom, but also His children in Israel are a part of that as well. So in this theme of judgment, we catch a glimpse of what it means to be God's child under His love and protection. But we get a glimpse of what it's like when God loves you and protects you. It's pretty awesome. And do you see the Heavenly Father's response to all those attacked those He loves? What He did with Edom is He destroyed them. And the response that He did in that time could be the same one that we experience now. You could catch a glimpse of God's love for His kingdom and His church and His children today. He hasn't changed from the Old Testament and Obadiah to the year 2008. He still will respond in protection. And so we can look at our Heavenly Father and respond in a way, because He will take care of our lives. He loves us and He will protect us. Now, that doesn't mean that, like any loving father, He wouldn't discipline you. It's not that He's going to protect you from everything. There are some of us who wander away from the Lord, and the Lord will use discipline in our lives. He won't protect us from all suffering and all hardship. He will use people in our lives and events in our lives to draw Himself to us and to draw us to them. Now, Obadiah predicted that God would destroy Edom, and God will fiercely punish those who harm His people, and we can be confident in God's final victory. God's timetable does not always fit into your timetable or mine. God always does things in the perfect time, but when you think about it, it often won't be the time frame that you want, but ultimately He will have victory. He is our champion, and we can trust Him, and He will bring about true justice. So as you look at God protecting the children of Israel and dealing with this country of Edom in a very dramatic way, as we'll look in just a minute, you can look forward to Jesus as your champion bringing justice. Now, God can be seen in Obadiah. We can love and trust God because He promises to protect His people. We just went through a period of time here in our community where there was a lot of people that were afraid and were looking for more protection from the bad guy out running around. We can ultimately have a complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Father's love for us, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He promises to protect us so we can go into any situation, every situation, trusting Him, loving Him, worshiping Him, no matter what it is, whether it's my battle with cancer, which is scary. I can love Him, I can trust Him, I can be confident He will protect me, and whatever happens, He will lead me through that because He loves me. Now, God has a purpose to establish His kingdom here on earth, and those of us who are faithful to God love His people. The other thing that we could look at is we could communicate together and commune together in such a way as God's people that we could be a part of that solution. Because in a practical sense, God uses human people to do divine work. As we've been reading through the Old Testament, have you been impressed by by some of the things that he let Elisha do. I mean, I just think that would be really cool to be able to make axe heads float up out of the river. Just, you know. Or the king comes to you and he gets a bow and arrow and you help him shoot it out the window and then you tell him to take the other arrows and strike the ground and you can prophesy and do miraculous things. Well, because you struck the ground three times, you'll defeat these guys three times, and they do. You know? God uses human people. Elisha and Elijah were just like the rest of us. They put on their sandals one foot at a time. I'd like to say they put on their pants, but they didn't wear pants. They kind of wear those other things. But, I mean, they were just like us. They just put on their shoes one foot at a time. God uses human people to do that. And He wants to use us loving on each other and loving on His kingdom, not just our church, not just our denomination, but His kingdom to express that love. And because we have the confidence that God will protect us and God is leading us and that we could do that confidently. Don't you think? I mean, when you know somebody loves you and would protect you, it's kind of a comforting deal, right? And when you know somebody's got your back, you know, that's an important deal. As we read through Eldridge's book, John Eldridge said that, you know, nobody ever received the Medal of Honor because they were thinking about the flag and country. They all got them because they were taking care of their friends that they fought with. It's the close community relationships, whether it be in the church or whether it be in the military illustration, that make the big difference. So you and I coming together as a community, trusting God, loving each other, reaching out into the kingdom, that's where the good stuff happens. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 20, we see a time in which Jehoram, how do you pronounce that? Jehoram was the king, and Edom rebelled against Judah and set up its own king. Ever since David had been king, Edom had been a sort of a state of the kingdom. But in this king's rule, they rebelled against him. Now, I put some pictures of this place. This is Petra. It's one of the nicer cities in the kingdom of Edom, and that's how you got in there. As you walk through that skinny little chasm and those cracks, that's how everything came in and out of Petra. But they also had big gates that they could actually close. These were taken in 2006, these pictures were. So when you look at that house, realizing that it's 3,000 years old plus, Julie and I painted one end of our house. In 3,000 years, it won't be there. You know, the paint doesn't even last 10 years. The house is not going to last 3,000. But this is the quality and the type of kingdom that we look at in Edom, that they carve their city out of solid rock. And this is what it looks like 3,000 years ago and how big it is. You can see the people going in and out of that building. But they just hacked it right out of the side of the mountain. And they go back in there a long ways. It's not just a face, you know, like some of the cowboy towns where they just put something up on the street. But when you walked around behind it, there was just boards holding it up. There's actually a massive structure inside of there. This is one of their theaters that they built, chiseled out of solid rock. You can see a peasant's donkey and him laying up there sleeping still today. It's a huge place. I couldn't get it all on the screen, but it's a massive theater that they carved out of solid rock. This is one of their banks, and it goes way back into the hill. This next one is just one of many treasure rooms that they had in that bank, and they're full of treasure in Edom's day. These things are stacked with treasure, and they're massive, carved into the solid side of the mountain. This is one of their tombs. That still stands today. And when you look at the grandeur of this thing, 3,000 years old. I don't know how well that shows up on there. But can you see how they could be cocky and arrogant and proud of their nation and what they had? And they were, and that was their downfall, that they trusted in these massive defense systems, and huge reservoirs of gold. So, the other theme is people's pride. And I I'd like us to look at that as our nation on Independence Day weekend. As you think about our nation, you know, I'm proud to be an American. I have a huge American flag flying on my flagpole. It's almost too big for the flagpole. And you know, I've got my red, white, and blue stuff strung out. But there's a sense when pride becomes cocky and arrogant. You know what I mean? When you get aloof. I read in the Bible the other day that a man shouldn't brag when he's putting on his armor. He should do his bragging after he takes it off. Does that make sense? Don't be too cocky putting your armor on. You may get your cleaned. It's when you're taking your armor off that you can speak. Now, in our country, there's just about a crossing of the line to where we're getting really arrogant and proud and not thankful like our founding fathers were. And we could cross the same line that these guys did. Because of their seemingly invincible rock fortress, the Edomites were proud and self-confident. But God humbled them and their nation disappeared from the face of the earth. When I was online gathering those pictures, there's all these tours that somebody else will take you on through Petra. They got some really nice hotels that you could stay on just outside of the old city. It's a nice gig. If I ever get to go to the Middle East, I'd probably like to go see it just because it looks really interesting to me. But there is no Edomites that live there anymore. They got proud, they got cocky, they got arrogant, they defied God, they defied God's people, they didn't care for God's people, and now they're gone. And so that's something for us to look at. So Edom was proud of its high position, and God brought her down. Those of us who are high and powerful today should not be overly confident in themselves, whether that be our nation, whether it be the corporation you work at, whether a church or a family. Don't get cocky. Don't get too proud. The last two messages that I brought to you, I had the solution to life based on the biblical context was humility. To be a humble servant, not to be arrogant. Even if your service position happened to be the most powerful man in our nation, still having a humble attitude and not cocky, proud, would be a good thing to look for. Same way in churches. As you fellowship with us, if I start getting cocky, you should talk to me about that. To say we have a great church, that we're proud of our church, we're proud of the people that work here, that's not a bad thing. But if you take that too far, does that make sense? It's not bad to be proud that you have new grandbabies and that they're healthy and your kids are doing a good job rearing them. It's not a bad thing. But to lift them up to a position of like we looked at last week where they become an idol in your life, then that's too far. Does that make sense to you? So in our nation, we want to be clear. Edom is an example to all nations who are hostile to God. As you prepare for the upcoming elections in this country, consider Edom. And remember, you know, when we're looking for the man that's going to lead our country for at least the next 4 years, make sure that you take into account his attitude towards God's church, the country of Israel, because those will make a big difference on what God does in our country. We happen to have a president now who is very favorable towards the Church of Jesus Christ and very assisting to the nation of Israel. I think those are good things. I think when you look at your next leader of our country, you should consider those. Because if we put somebody in there who doesn't have a high regard for the church or doesn't have a high regard for Israel, we could end up in the same situation as Edom. So, think about that as you prepare. It seems early to be starting election talk, but good grief, the commercials are already on TV. So while they're pitching you, I need to be pitching you the biblical perspective on that. To not just look at how is this going to affect me, but what is this man's attitude towards those two important entities, among other things. So, how it can be seen and how God can be seen in Obadiah. Nothing can break God's promise to protect His people from complete destruction. Like I said, God may discipline us as a nation, may discipline you as an individual, may discipline our church, but He will not allow it to be completely destroyed. God is sovereign in human history. Even as you seek Him going through these next few months of enduring the commercials for the election and then making your choices for that, God is sovereign. How it comes out is the way that He intends it to be. God's ultimate purpose is to establish His eternal kingdom. And He wants to do that in your heart and life by you becoming born again, by you becoming a body of believers, a born-again believer's body where we can function as His kingdom, and from there we can even reach to places in the darkest of Africa, send young missionaries out there. We can be a part of that work from here, His eternal kingdom on earth. And lastly, those who are faithful to God have hope for a new future. Because we know that God is going to take care of us and protect us, because we have a love for His children, His church, and for each other, we can have a great hope moving forward that He will take good care of us.